Let's talk about these three wrecks you were talking about, Gavin, then we'll get into some more of these mysteries. Go ahead.
Right. Thanks, George.
Sure.
Now, we were told that there were three wrecks of ships over 3,000 years old. One dated 1600 BC, one dated 1300 BC, and one dated 1100 BC. And they'd been found off the coast of Turkey, 200 miles east of Crete. Crete, if you remember, was where the paintings of these ships were. So we decided to go to the coast of Turkey where these ships had been found. And they'd been raised from the bottom over a series of dives over a 10-year period. And the wrecks, two of the wrecks, have been placed in the museum in a place called Bodrum. Well, the fascinating thing is that these ships were carrying copper, ingots of copper, and the copper reacted with the seawater to prevent weevils and worms of various sorts drilling into the hull. So when the ship sank, large chunks of hull were left intact on the sea bottom, and this is what's been raised up. And because the hull was largely intact over quite a bit of the side of the ship, it meant that the sea currents couldn't get into the hold, and they couldn't wash the cargo away. So the cargo in these ships was very much as it was when the ship sank around 1500 BC. Well, the fascinating thing was that in the hold, the cargo came from all sorts of different places. It came, in fact, from six different civilizations. So you had elephant tusks from India. There was hippopotamus teeth from Africa. Mm. There was blue glass from Egypt, gold from Syria, amber from the Baltic, and copper from we didn't know where. I'll come to that in a moment.
Okay.
We thought it would be sensible to go to the places where this cargo had originated from, and see if there was evidence that Minoan ships had, in fact, visited those places years ago. We started off in the Baltic. Now, nobody questions that the amber found in the holds of these ships on the Mediterranean seabed came from the Baltic. And that's a round trip of 3,000-plus miles from the eastern Mediterranean through the Straits of Gibraltar, across the Bay of Biscay, up through the North Sea to the Baltic. So, was there any evidence that Minoans had been in the Baltic around 1500 BC? And we found that there was evidence. It had been found by a director of the Max Planck Institute, a man called Hans-Peter Dürer. And he'd found in peaked at a level of roughly 1400 BC, he'd found some enormous storage jars which had been dated to 1400 BC. And because of their decorations and the type of construction and all the rest of it, of these vast storage jars, he could say for sure they couldn't have been carried by camel or horse. They must have been carried by ship, and they must have come from Crete. So there we had direct evidence.
How far, Gavin, was the Greek island of Santorini from Crete?
It's 70 miles to the north.
70 miles, okay. So
yeah.
Relatively close. So I guess... When this volcano went thousands of years ago, Crete got hit pretty bad too, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Now, some Greek archaeologists have done a study of the size of the tsunami which hit northern Crete, and it was over 100 feet high. And they found that because there are seashells from the seabed which have been impaled on cliffs over 100 foot high in northern Crete. And nobody disputes that anymore. It's the world's the biggest tsunami there's ever been. And I think it also wrecked the eastern Mediterranean. It sent a surge of water up the Nile. It wrecked the Nile Delta. It caused the most terrible plague in Egypt. And the pharaoh, Akhenaten, had to change course dramatically. So it was an absolute catastrophe, this tsunami.
Now, Santorini, anyway, are you saying, though, Santorini was Atlantis?
Yes. the Atlantis, I didn't realize till I was, until my book was actually finished, that I'd stumbled by complete accident on the fact that I that what I'd been describing, the Minoan Empire, was exactly what Plato was describing in the Empire of Atlantis.
Ah.
So I didn't set out in any way to find Atlantis, and I didn't set out originally to find out about the Minoan Empire, but I found in the course of my travels over a year and a half that the Minoan Empire stretched from North America, which I'll perhaps explain in a moment, okay, right across the Atlantic to northwest Scotland, the Orkneys and Faroes, to southwest England, Stonehenge, to northwest France, southwest Spain, and across the Mediterranean through Egypt to southern India.
They were everywhere. And were the Minoans what are now the modern-day Greeks?
Yes, they were the forerunners of classical Greece.
Okay, now, okay.
As it happens, the Greeks inherited a massive amount of intellectual, artistic, mechanical, all sorts of inventions and discoveries which the Minoans had made. Now, if I could just explain how this came about. Basically, my book is a description of visiting all the places from whence the goods and the hulls of these ships came. So we went to India. We found direct evidence of trade between India and America in 1500 BC. That's 3,500 years ago. We found evidence of trade between Egypt and America, and between Stonehenge and Egypt and Stonehenge in England and India and so on. So that's what the book shows. Now, I had a tremendous stroke of luck because when I finished the book, I sold it to Orion, who are the world's largest publisher now, and they issued a press release in April 2010. That's just over a year ago. And the Greek government picked up this press release, and they asked me if I'd be interviewed by Greek television. And of course, I said I'd be delighted. Now, unknown to me at the time, there was a Greek professor also on the program who didn't speak English, who I'd never heard of, didn't know anything about. And he was a mathematician, and he phoned me after the show and emailed me and said that he'd spent 20 years deciphering the Minoan language, Linear A, which is a sort of holy grail for linguists. Would I like to meet him? So I said, yes, you bet I would. So I went to Crete and met him, and he sat home. And essentially, he said to me, I can prove that the Minoans sailed to Greenland, across the Atlantic, to northwest Scotland, to southwest Spain, to across the Mediterranean, to India. And so in other words, he could show that everywhere where I said they'd gone in my book, he could show that the Minoans had traveled by translation of this Linear A language. Well, this to me was, and to him, was absolutely astounding because neither of us knew of the other. I hadn't got a clue about his work. I'd hardly mentioned the language in my book, and he never heard of me. So meeting Professor Tsikritsis really achieved two enormous important things. First was that his translation must be correct because it was corroborated by my book, all the evidence that I'd found. And so it couldn't be a coincidence if he'd found that the Minoans went to, say, southwest Spain, and which is where I said they go, and that was it. You could say, well, that's a coincidence. But you can't say it's a coincidence when he's found they went to southern India, Egypt, the eastern Mediterranean, western Mediterranean, and all the way to America.
How advanced were they, Gavin? I mean, did they have incredible technology? Yeah.
They were absolutely amazing. I mean, he's found out their mathematics, for example. They had arithmetic and linear progression. They had all sorts of different algebra. They could work out the value of pi, which, as you know, is the ratio between circumference
yep.
and the radius of a circle. And they got the value of pi right to five figures, 3.14159.
Unheard of.
Which is more advanced than the Mesopotamians or the Egyptians. Similarly, phi, the golden ratio, they got the correct ratio to 1.618, which the Mesopotamians and the Egyptians had not achieved. So in mathematics, they were more advanced than anyone else in the world.